John chapter number 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Acts of the text, these words, I am the resurrection. I want to preach for a little while on the subject, the resurrection. If I heard a preacher say, I want to preach on the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning, then I might think he's going to preach a message on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But actually, I want to speak about Jesus Christ, the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Now, in the context, the Bible tells us about Lazarus, a man that was sick, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha sent word that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus Christ did not immediately go to them. And they might have thought that Jesus Christ would come immediately and do something about the situation, but he did not. In fact, he loved the Lord, the Father, and also he loved Martha and Mary and others too much to rush to the side and do something about the situation. Instead, it was best for him to hold off, to tarry, and then later on go. And so Jesus Christ did not go immediately. Eventually he did go. And notice, if you will, beginning in verse number 20, John chapter number 11, the Bible says, Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then verse number 28, the Bible says, And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. It seems as though there was an atmosphere of unbelief. At that particular time, there was an atmosphere of unbelief. In fact, I want you to consider a few things. Number one, the seeming implication that Jesus was late. In the words of Martha, she spoke as though if Jesus had been there, her brother had not died. Notice, if you will, in verse number 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice, if you will, verse number 37, and some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? And so there seems to be this atmosphere there at the time of unbelief, as though it was too late for Jesus Christ to do anything about the situation. Now, the fact is, Jesus Christ is never late. Jesus Christ is always on time. It doesn't matter how the circumstances look, Jesus Christ is always on time and always able to meet whatever needs need to be met at the time. This time, Jesus Christ had chosen to tarry and not go immediately and take care of the situation, but no matter how much the situation had deteriorated, and I use that word on purpose, deteriorated, no matter how much the situation had deteriorated, still, Jesus Christ was not late. Notice, if you will, chapter 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And then the scripture continues on. And so, Jesus Christ was not yet in the town when Martha met him, and she went ahead and talked to him as though he was too late. Mary talked as though he was too late. The people talked as though he was too late. In fact, there came a time later on before Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead that Martha spoke up and said that by now he stinketh, as though it's just too late to do anything about this situation. I believe according to the context, Lazarus was about right for raising. It might be said that Lazarus at that time was good and dead. I think at that time there was no question among the people that Lazarus was definitely dead. And so it's just about time for Christ to raise him from the dead. Consider secondly the absence of questions in Martha's responses. If you look at what I read from Martha, she made these statements, but I don't find anywhere in that portion of Scripture where Martha was saying things like, Jesus, I don't understand why you did it that way. I don't understand why you didn't get here any sooner. And Lord, can you explain to me the situation? I don't find any questions from Martha in that portion of Scripture. And also I read about that departure of Martha. It seemed as though she spoke to Jesus. She spoke as though he was too late. She made some statements to him. And then she departed. And it seemed as though it was an abrupt departure from Christ. As though she said what she wanted to say to Christ, and she went away. I don't find there an attitude of wanting to learn from Christ and to find out more and understand more about why Christ did what he did. But she made these statements. Number three, I want you to consider the declarations that Martha made. If you will, look in verse number 22. But now I know that even now whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In verse number 27, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, these are good doctrinal declarations that Martha made. She really made some good statements. In fact, the last one was outstanding. You may have a hard time finding a better declaration, a testimony of an individual about Christ in the Scriptures. It's something like what Peter said at one point in the book of Matthew. It's recorded there. And at that particular time, Jesus spoke as though it came from heaven. And so, I believe it was a good declaration that she made. She made some good declarations, but you can make some good doctrinal declarations. You can say, I believe this about God, and I believe that about God. You can make some very good doctrinal declarations, and your heart still not be right with God. I believe in this case, she made some good declarations, and yet she still had a heart of unbelief. Was not fully trusting Christ at this time. I believe that it was in this atmosphere of unbelief that Jesus Christ groaned in the Spirit, Jesus Christ was troubled, and Jesus Christ wept. Perhaps you've heard the shortest verse in the Bible quoted, Jesus wept. And sometimes people may say, well, certainly it's because Jesus Christ was so concerned about the death of Lazarus, the people that were there, certainly is because he was so concerned that Jesus Christ wept there at the tomb. I really don't think that's the case. I believe that because of the unbelief of the people, Jesus Christ knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So I don't think that Jesus Christ was all that concerned about Lazarus at that point, but I believe because of the unbelief of the people, that Jesus Christ groaned in his spirit. And Jesus Christ wept. Of course, the Bible tells us that Jesus called Lazarus forth. And certainly, Lazarus came forth. He had been in a cave, which had had a stone before it, and Jesus Christ had the stone removed. And Jesus Christ called Lazarus forth. And certainly in response to the resurrection, Jesus Christ, Lazarus came forth. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Now that is in addition to other things he said about himself. Jesus Christ also said he was the way, the truth, the life. Jesus said he was the bread from heaven. Jesus Christ said a number of things about himself, made a number of statements about himself. This is one of them. I am the resurrection. Look, if you will, back in John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. Some great scripture, very instructional scripture in John chapter number 5. John 5, the Bible reveals to us that God the Father had put God the Son in charge of two things in particular. Number one, God the Father put God the Son in charge of the resurrection of the dead. Number two, the judgment of men. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 21. Verse 21, the Bible says, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, or quickeneth, we might think about giving life. Let me just give you a very brief explanation or illustration. If you are cutting your fingernails and you get into the quick, you may say, well, that hurts, because there's life there in the quick. Now, you can cut out on the dead part of your fingernail and it doesn't bother you, but you get into the quick and it can bother you. So we might think about where there's life. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth, he giveth life to whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, see that? The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice here, it says that the Lord, the Father, had given him authority to execute judgment also. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now somebody might say, well, if Jesus Christ is over the judgment of men, then I think that we're probably going to get by a little easier. People may be afraid of standing before God, but they may think, well, if we're just going to stand before Jesus, then I don't think that's so bad. Notice, if you will, verse 30, the very next verse. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. So, Jesus Christ shall be in charge of both the resurrections and the judgments. As I was saying, Jesus Christ shall judge according to the will of the Father. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The fact is, all of us, no matter who we are, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to touch on some things and not deal with them in much detail. We can speak about spiritual resurrections and physical resurrections. I was resurrected when I was 19 years of age. I was in my bedroom alone, and God had been dealing with my heart. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was in rebellion against God. But when I was 19 years old, I called out to God in repentance and faith. God saved my soul. And you might say, in a sense, I was resurrected. And I don't have time to get into all the detail there, but you got the scripture in Romans chapter number 6. I died in Christ. I rose again to walk in the newness of life. And so we might think about that spiritual resurrection. Then also the resurrection where one dies to self and God raises him up to serve Him. And so a spiritual resurrection for salvation and a spiritual resurrection for service. And so we might think about spiritual resurrections, but that's really not what I want to deal with especially this morning. There's also the physical resurrections. And I think the physical resurrections can be broken down into two parts. We might consider, first of all, a resurrection unto damnation, and then a resurrection unto glorification. Note, if you will, in John chapter number 5 and verse number 29, the Bible shows a very definite difference here. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I just mentioned that scripture, Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, Jesus Christ shall be in charge of all future physical resurrections. He is the one that God has given that authority to bring the dead from the graves. I want to deal with three resurrections that are future, still future today. There, of course, is this resurrection that we have spoken of in John and chapter number 11, where Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. He showed His ability. He could bring forth a man from the dead. Then as well, you can look forward in a few chapters, and you have a record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter number 10, verses 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus Christ laid His life down and took it again. He is in charge of resurrections. Jesus Christ took His own life. He laid it down, but He took His own life up again. He rose from the dead. That resurrection of Jesus Christ, I was just preaching about this last Sunday, that resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 4, declared the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with power. Matthew chapter number 4. The devil had challenged Jesus Christ to prove that He was the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. He challenged Him to prove that He was the Son of God. But Jesus Christ could not rightfully prove Himself to be the Son of God the way the devil challenged Him to do so. Then, as He was upon the cross, Jesus Christ was challenged to prove He was the Son of God, but He could not prove He was the Son of God, rightfully so, in the way He was challenged to do so. So the way Jesus Christ proved that He was the Son of God was by the fact that He rose from the dead. And so, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:4 is a proof text. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 4, He was declared to be the Son of God with power. The Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He proved himself to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. We have the resurrection of Lazarus. We have Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And now, all future resurrections shall be under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so, that's especially what I want to deal with for a little while before I close. Three resurrections. First of all, the resurrection for church age saints. That is, anybody here that's saved by the grace of God, if you die, God is going to raise you from the dead. Christ is going to raise you from the dead. We have scripture, more than one scripture, that deals with that. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and then verse 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So, that's the first resurrection to come. From where we are right now, the next resurrection there's going to be is a resurrection of the saints, the church age saints. And we shall be caught up together. If Jesus Christ came back this morning, all of us that are truly born again and saved by the grace of God shall rise up together to be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together and we shall be with Jesus Christ in the clouds. And of course, after that meeting, there shall be the judgment seat of Christ. That is going to be a resurrection unto glorification. All that are saved by the grace of God and are caught up to be with Christ at that particular time shall receive glorified bodies. And 1 Corinthians 15 deals with that. And the Bible talks about the change that shall take place in our bodies. Now all of us, both dead and living, that are caught up together to be with Him, shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Our bodies shall be changed. Sometimes people may think about receiving a new body, but I don't want you to misunderstand the fact that we shall have our bodies that we have now changed. Now I realize that the scoffer may say, well, how is God going to resurrect the dead in Christ? And they may say, well, how is God going to resurrect the bodies of men from this windswept earth and the wave-swept ocean whose particles have been spread here and there? How is God going to raise those bodies? Well, let me remind you, first of all, that according to the Scriptures, God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. God was able to take the dust and make the first man, and God will certainly be able to take from the dust the particles of a man and make a body, a new body, for the saint of God that has gone on before. He shall do that, and in fact, for those that scoff, I point you to some scripture. Scoffers are addressed here in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And it goes on to talk about a grain of wheat. And so we might think about a grain of wheat that dies, and yet there comes forth the sprout of wheat. And so God is going to take the body that has died. He's going to change that body. And it's going to come forth, of course, a glorious body. In fact, the Bible tells about it, beginning in verse number 43 of 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, It has raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And the scripture goes on. God is going to change our bodies. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Down in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? The grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's that first resurrection that's going to take place. It's imminent. At any time, Christ could come, and Christ could take both the living saints and the dead saints from this age, the church age, all the saints from that period that have died during that period and that are living in this period. The Lord shall take us and change us and shall judge us. It is going to be a resurrection and a glorification, and it shall be a judgment to determine our rewards. Not punishment, but rewards. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven. But I shall be judged, and you shall be judged if you're saved at that time concerning what your rewards shall be. Now I want to move on quickly to the next resurrection. And that is the resurrection for the Old Testament saints and the tribulation period saints. I don't have time to go to a lot of proof text, but in Revelation chapter number 20, we have some scripture concerning the matter. Daniel, for instance, he was an Old Testament saint. Daniel was told to go his way and wait to the end, until the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of thy days. Sometimes people may talk about the death of a saint as a rest. Jesus said that Lazarus slept. We might think about Abraham. He's been resting. And Job's been resting. And David's been resting. And Jacob and Noah. And he's gone through the list. But there's coming a time in which they'll get up. God will get them up. There'll be that resurrection. In Revelation chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is what the Bible speaks of as the first resurrection. From John's viewpoint, this is the first resurrection after the rapture of the church. So that makes it the first resurrection. From John's viewpoint, when God said He would show him things to come, from that point of the rapture of the church, God said, come up hither. He was going to show him things to come. This is the first resurrection after the one I was just speaking about. The rapture of the church. That resurrection, God is going to bring the Old Testament saints from the graves. And God is also going to take tribulation period saints that have died from the grave. And He is going to raise them. They shall be in the kingdom with us from the church age that have already been either raptured or resurrected. We shall be together there in the millennial kingdom, and the Bible speaks about the 1,000 years. We shall be with Christ for 1,000 years. Don't have time to get into this, but I do believe that there shall be a judgment associated with that as well. And so once again, a resurrection and a judgment. This once again is a resurrection unto glorification. The one there at the rapture of the church is for those that are truly saved by the grace of God. And God is going to give them glorified bodies. Then this one that I'm speaking of, there's going to be the Lord bringing back those Old Testament saints and people that have died during the tribulation period that are saved. God is going to give them glorified bodies. But then there is another resurrection, the third resurrection. Notice, if you will, in Revelation chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 11. This is a different kind of resurrection. This is a resurrection for all of those who have rejected Christ. All of those from whatever age, whether in the Old Testament, whether they died in the flood, whether they died there during the lifetime of Adam, whether they died later on during the time of Christ, whether they have died in our day, whether they die in the tribulation period, whether they die in the millennial kingdom. This is for all of those who have rejected Christ, have never come to Christ and been born again. This is a resurrection for all of them. Notice, if you will, chapter number 20, and beginning with verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They could not find a hiding place from the omnipresence of God. And the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. God knows the works of men. Man cannot hide from the omniscience of God. Then verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now I want you to notice those words, death and hell. If a man dies today, he's not saved. His body goes to the ground, and his soul goes to hell. But at that time, God is going to take the souls of men from hell and their bodies from the earth. He's going to bring them together, and there they're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's why the Bible speaks about death and hell. Verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I find it interesting that in those other two resurrections, all those that were in those resurrections were raised to glorification and judged to determine what kind of rewards they would receive. All of these take part in a resurrection unto damnation. All of these shall be cast in the lake of fire. There's such a tremendous difference. Anybody that is saved, if you serve the Lord well, or you do not do well serving the Lord, the very fact you get to go to heaven because of what has been done by Jesus Christ, and you're accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, to go to heaven, what a wonderful blessing to go to heaven. And then to think that on top of that, you may receive extra rewards as you have served the Lord faithfully. But then for all of those that are part of this resurrection, all of them shall be cast in the lake of fire. And it doesn't matter what degree of punishment they receive as a result of the judgment that shall take place. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It's all going to be bad. To be cast in the lake of fire is terrible in and of itself. But this is a resurrection unto damnation. And so we have three resurrections, three future resurrections. At any time, there could be the rapture, the resurrection that takes place, when God calls forth the saints from this church age that have died, raises them, and we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Secondly, the resurrection of Old Testament saints, Moses and Amos, all the whole bunch, and also tribulation period saints which die, all of those shall be raised from the dead, given glorified bodies. And I believe they shall be judged as well, to determine the reward they receive. And finally, when it's all over, we've gone all the way through the Old Testament, church age, tribulation period, millennial kingdom, when all of that is done, there's going to be one final resurrection, a resurrection unto damnation, a resurrection of all the lost of all ages. And they shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They shall all stand at that great white throne and be judged by Christ. And they shall all be cast in the lake of fire. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He is in charge. God's put Him in charge of all the resurrections and all the judgments to come. God has put Him in charge.